Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Live Dharma Sunday. If you have called in to listen to this morning's broadcast, please note that all lines have been placed on mute to avoid background interference. If you are joining us from either the Bright Dawn Ning site or the Blog Talk Radio site, please note that it is not necessary to call in. If you're experiencing loss of audio or the Blog Talk Radio player is not working properly, please refresh your page and hit the play button once more. It may take a few moments for your browser to complete the buffering process. Once again, welcome to Live Dharma Sunday and enjoy the broadcast. Have a nice guest with us today. His name is Michael Shinyo Lawrence, and he lives in Burlington, Colorado, and he is currently finishing up in our lay ministry program, and he'll be finishing up this month, at the end of this month. So for today's Dharma Glimpse, Michael Shinyo-san.
I had a little concerns about that. I dialed in a few times and thought maybe there was something wrong on my end, but I'm glad we got that figured out. Well, with it being Mother's Day, I wanted to talk about that. In his book, Everyday Suchness, Yome Sensei wrote an essay titled, The Greatest Gift to Mother. In this essay, he wrote, whether our mothers are living or dead, to give them no cause for worry is the great thing. However, we let our mothers worry. I know growing up, I gave my mother plenty to worry about. Now that I'm 38 years old, she still worries. Her biggest worry is that whether or not I'll get deployed again. She frequently asks, how much longer do you have? Will you reenlist? Do you think that you'll have to go to Afghanistan? Of course, it's not my intention to worry her this way. It's only natural that mothers worry. Mothers love their children no matter what they do. In Nikon, we ask ourselves three simple questions. What have I received from the people in my life? What have I given them? What troubles and difficulties have I caused them? As children and even sometimes as adults, we can take our mother's love for granted. If we ask these three questions in relation to our mothers, we may find that we've received much, much more than we imagined. We may also find that we caused more trouble and worry than what we ever thought about. Personally, I could spend a lot of time with this last question. So I think about Mother's Day, I think this is a chance to ask, what have I given to Mom? One day is not nearly enough considering all that she's given to me over the years. At least we can use this one day as a reminder. Another thought that comes to mind on Mother's Day is Amida Buddha as mother. When I think of Amida Buddha, I think of the Dharma in everything and how all beings have Buddha nature. I read that when a mother calls her child, the child immediately answers, child answers because of the mother's call, not of their own power. Therefore, an entrusting heart is not our own, but the natural response to the call of Mita Buddha is as the compassionate mother. Because of this unconditional love of a mother, we can have that entrusting heart. Namam Dalits. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Mother's Day, that's right. You know, I hadn't planned on talking about it, but I listened very carefully to our Dharma glimpses and different thoughts came up. So maybe this is a nice procedure. I'll see what gets triggered or pulled up from my subconscious when I hear the preceding Dharma glimpse, and I'll talk about whatever comes up. Although I do have some other, you know, topics that I could talk about. As Shinyo-san mentioned Nikon, I think it might be interesting to elaborate on that a little bit. We used a book on Nikon in our lay ministry program by Greg Creech, who has a center in Vermont, and he wrote a book on this. And Nikon is a particularly sort of a personal growth technique that's rooted in Shin Buddhism. It originated in Japan. It was modified for use in the West by David Reynolds, and he started what's called the Todo Institute, T-O-D-O, Todo Institute in California, and he has written quite a few books. And developed a system called Constructive Living, which incorporates Nikon techniques and also what is called Morita therapy. Morita therapy is more aligned with the Zen Buddhist tradition, as Nikon comes more from Shin Buddhism. So it's interesting that both the Zen and Shin Buddhist denominations are kind of combined in Reynolds' Constructive Living. If you Google David Reynolds, you'll find he has quite a few books on constructive living, a lot of nice pamphlets on variations of Morita therapy, and highly recommend his paperback books. And Greg Creech is a student of David Reynolds, and he started a branch of the Todo Institute, as I mentioned, in Vermont. Kind of a personal aside, but he grew up in Skokie, about 3 or 4 blocks from where we used to live, and where the Bright Dawn Institute was started, in Skokie, Illinois, suburb of Chicago. And we got to know each other on his visits, and he found his bliss, if we were to use Joseph Campbell's term, in Nikon. And his whole life has been about Nikon. And he gives workshops on Nikon at many temples. In my very limited way, I have used the Nikon at conventions, at 1-hour workshops. See, Nikon, the word Nikon means Nai means inner, N-A-I, and Kan, K-A-N, means to see or to look. So Nikon means to look inward, which essentially is, you know, self-introspection. But it's directed in a certain way. And in the Nikon treatment, traditional treatment, it lasts for weeks, and they spend all day reflecting inwardly on different topics or different people. Okay, quite a variety. But one of the most typical ones is they start with is the mother. This is a very close relationship between a child and the mother, and they ask the three questions. And there's a whole Nikon procedure where you do self-reporting and things like this. And it's a very powerful technique. And in that, the simple, short, one-hour session that I did in a workshop at a conference, and for the three questions, they only did it about 10 minutes each on each question. What did you receive from your mother? Okay. What did you give back? What kind of trouble did you cause her? You know, 10 minutes on each one, and I would ring a bell, and we dim the lights in the meeting place, and they were sitting in their chairs facing the wall, and I was being the timekeeper, and a lot of Kleenex was being pulled out. People were crying as they did this exercise. And then when the time was over, we got together in small groups and we shared kind of processed what went on, you know. And some people, or it might be asked, why would you want to elicit guilt, I guess, especially when you think about, I received so much. Even though the mother may not have considered it doing for you. I mean, she just, by being herself and everything, you know, you received so much. And then, of course, as children, we were selfish. We didn't give back. And indeed, we caused mothers worry a lot. We caused a lot of trouble. And there's a lot of, I guess, what is the purpose of this guilt that, you know, if you're really doing this sincerely, this exercise? So I think it's in the processing of it, in the small groups afterwards, talk about healthy guilt. And follow it up with, well, what can we give back? You know, if we're really stirred up by this healthy guilt, we want to do something about it. What can we give back to your mother? And you could give back something, even if she's long gone. You know, you could give back by becoming a good person, by fulfilling her values, by becoming more sincere in your spiritual journey, for example. There's a lot of ways to give back, you know. And sometimes some of us who have mothers have passed away, I'm sure on Mother's Day, quite often we might, someone says, "Oh, we're getting together with my mother for dinner or Mother's Day lunch or breakfast or brunch, or I got to get a gift, or I got to get a card, or I'm going to send flowers." And then those of us who have lost our mothers, sometimes we feel a twinge, don't we? Say, "Gee, I don't have my mother. I don't. I remember when I used to do those things, but I can't do that anymore because he's physically not around anymore. And it gives us a little twinge there. But we ought to realize that we could still give back, you know? And I remember when Shosan was saying, talking about Amida Buddha as a, as our, quote, mother, unquote, you know, unconditional love, reminded me of a little Dharma school talk that I gave once to children, where we had six mothers come up, and I had made kind of a cardboard square pieces with the letters M-O-T-H-E-R, and each person had one letter, one mother, and it spelled out mother, M-O-T-H-E-R, okay? And then I talked about it, and then I said, and because mothers are, they're sort of like Buddha-like in the sense of unconditional compassion, unconditional acceptance, you know? So behind every mother is a Buddha. And so I said, okay, turn your cards around. And they all turned their cards around. And on the backside, spelled Buddha. B-U-D-D-H-A. That's six letters too, same as mother. So a B was behind the M, and they flipped it around and said, yeah, behind every mother there's a Buddha. And we all had a good laugh about it. Well, again, I apologize for being on mute. No, I'll save it. Adrian said that once I do that story, but I think it'll be a little bit too long. So I'd like to close today's broadcast, and on a special occasion of Mother's Day, we do put our hands together in oneness and gratitude. And we thank our guest, Michael Shinyo-san, and I thank all of you for calling in and joining us. And for all mothers, have a great Mother's Day. Have a beautiful day.